I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have a quorum. Michael Seeds, our clerk. Tracy, our treasurer. Chris Kilpatrick, the trustee. First order of business is approve the minutes for the February 21st meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries 3-0. Little disclosure, we attended the annual board meeting, or annual Butler County meeting over there in El Dorado, and about the same. So, but we were in a quorum over there, so we had to report it. Board report, Michael?
Nothing to report.
Carol?
Okay. Our beginning balance February 1st was $309,322.56. We had $11.53 interest. That was our only deposit. 33 checks cleared for $44,575.77. Statement at the ending was $264,758.32. We have uncleared transactions for, well, that shows two uncleared. I don't know why it does that. $12,119.39. And another uncleared for $42,044.80, which will leave our balance at $210,594.13. Oh, I know what that was.
Before and after, isn't it?
That was because we did this last time. I do the reconciliation a few days after the first, and that's from the first to the seventh. So our ending balance on the reconciliation was $264,758.32.
Motion to approve the vouchers.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 My report. pulled in the edges and rocked Metal Arc 5, graded several roads. You can see below, we replaced the rear brakes on PT4 and are working on fixing the toolbox lids. We burned the brush pile, cleaned out around culverts on 180 mile 6, and did some tree trimming on 180 mile 6. We hauled several loads of dirt to County Line 3, built brackets for the forks to fit the backhoe, been fixing several signs. Next month's plan of work is, once the asphalt plant's up and running, we're going to fix the chip seal roads that need patching. Obviously, we're going to be grading some roads because we're getting moisture. Continue working on clearing trees in the right-of-ways. Finish installing road culverts and driveway culverts. Start prepping for the chip seal roads this year, and continue work on the water truck, the old trailer, the new trailer, and PT1. Hauled 1,658 tons of material, used 613 gallons of red diesel, 217 gallons of green diesel, and all the equipment is still the same.
What are the forks for the backhoe for?
To pick up the culverts. Instead of trying to grab them with the thumb and crunch them like they were doing. We had a set, and nobody knows where they're at. So we got another set, so that way we can load them a lot easier than picking one end up, putting chains on it, trying to drag it around. We can load two or three of them at a time now and move them around without denting them up. All right. All right, board discussion. Lonnie's here with ICI.
Well, thanks for having me out. I am here at you guys' request, and I'll, you know, answer any questions you have on anything, and I'm glad to go through every line of the proposal. I'm glad, happy to, you know, hit the highlights and see what questions you guys have. I will say, whatever insurance company you guys choose, they'll be happy to see that you had fixed some of the signs out there. Those are the things that you can end up in, you know, lawsuits over for, whether it's, you know, somebody had an accident and the thing was hidden or whatever the case might be. And I know some of that's the county, some of that's, you know, whatever, but, you know, the ones where it's yours, that's a good thing. And appreciate Michael helping us get those applications back. That a lot of that stuff that's answered, that's exactly what they're trying to do, is figure out, you know, what they're going to rate you for. Now, the process of marketing, as I shared with you guys, I think we went to three different carriers, EMC and to Continental Western and to Intact. Intact, ironically, we had a proposal for you guys and one other, and they basically came out on March 14th and said they were withdrawing from the public entity marketplace, so no longer an option out there. But those are the main players, and you always, as you guys know, EMC's been the one that's everybody pretty much in the state has had, and that's been somewhat of a good thing, because they've kept the marketplace stable. Back when we had a lot of situations with public entities, and we write cities, the county, the colleges and schools and all of that, but there was a time when you couldn't get carriers to write some of these entities because of either the liability or the, you know, the amount of property or whatever else, and so those carriers, it was difficult to get anybody, so they set up with EMC, kind of a big stabilization fund, and all it stabilized pretty much all across the state. The one thing I will say about EMC has mentioned that they may be looking at a dividend program, which is what the cities and the schools and the others currently have. The township program has never had a dividend program, which means if they're making money, they pay it back percentage of whatever that is. But so with that said, you know, Continental Western came out and said, hey, we're looking at this stuff. And like I just mentioned, Intact pulled out, and so did Berkshire Hathaway, by the way, that had been writing some of these as well, and writing some cities, but they're out of that marketplace now. So what we ended up with as far as the proposals, I shared with you, you'll see the pricing's about, 3 to 4,000 difference between EMC and Continental Western. And you know, again, when you're looking in the marketplace, sometimes you see carriers come in and they'll buy in at a lower value, and then in a couple years it may raise up. You know, you just have to, you never know what you're going to get. And again, if they've pulled in, you know, the only thing I will tell you, Continental Western, at the when they first started into the city market, their second city they wrote was Greensburg, and they pulled out of the city market, the public entity market, for that period of time. Now they've come back in, and they're right in business. So I just throw that out there simply as informational for you guys, because you're making a decision for the future and what you're doing here. But as far as having a problem with their as a carrier, when they're on something, they will fully, we're not going to have a problem with a claim on what you're doing. The reason I was making those comments is the stability of the market down the road. If they pull out, then we got to, you know, come back going to EMC or whoever's still left in the market with our hat in hand going, I hope you'll take us. And if we have a lot of claims at that point, you never know, that can be a case where you can end up, you know, having to say, hey, we want back with you guys, and they don't always have to take you at that point. So again, that's just informational as part of, you know, what we look at in the marketplace when you're looking at carriers, when you're looking at what's going on. But at this point, for that amount of money, I think I would consider moving. I don't know what you guys were thinking, but...
I have a few questions based upon looking at this document.
Yeah, so the comparison in terms of coverages, you guys have the spreadsheet, right?
Yeah.
Is that the easiest to go down through?
I didn't print it off.
I've got it on my phone.
I can look over your shoulder.
Well, I just...
I can hold my computer up if I need to.
I mean, if you want to, let's just go through the questions I have, and then maybe that spawns some other ones.
Might be enough to help you guys out.
So my first question is that on the wind and hail deductible on the property,
right?
There isn't a deductible under EMC, but there's a $2,500 under Continental.
Right.
Why?
$2,500 wind hail.
Okay.
So why see that in the marketplace a lot nowadays. I mean, like our schools right now, they're up to a $25,000 wind hail deductible, whereas they used to have a $3,000 all peril, and some even had a $2,000.
So what my question is on EMC, is there no deductible, or is it a $1,000 deductible?
No, it's a thousand for all perils, whether it's wind, hail, et cetera.
So they're $1,500 cheaper than...
On that.
Whenever it comes to that deductible.
On that portion, yes.
Okay. On the auto piece, first of all, what's the deductible? I didn't see that on either one, and I couldn't find it in our old.
So if you look at the whole program there and go to the auto section, that would be on page 10.
I didn't see that.
And I think it's the same with Continental. She went ahead and worked this up with Continental.
Yeah, this is Continental only, yes.
Yeah, she worked that up because I just told her that, you know, in all likelihood, I figured you guys for that amount of money would want to switch. But again, you don't have to. I guess I was assuming, but it's your choice. But it's a $1,000 deductible on the comp and $1,000 deductible on collision, except on, you can see the International. ProStar is $2,000.
Oh, okay.
And for whatever reason, sometimes, you know, a particular make or model or whatever, they won't allow a lower deductible.
Okay, sorry.
But those are on the side there. The ones that you see that don't have a deductible are not covered for full comp and collision. Does that make sense?
And that's with EMC and? Oh, there's no deductible.
If it doesn't show a deductible, that means there's not full comp and collision on those vehicles.
It's only the old trailer that we're going to get rid of.
And the grader. Okay.
But now the grader, do we have that grader on the Inland Marine?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the physical damage it is on the grader is under the Inland Marine.
Okay.
I believe so.
We do.
Yeah, so your liability... is extending there. We just have it because it's out there on the road, and we list it on the auto as part of the auto liability portion.
So if it's part of the $1,000. Okay, good enough. All right, so do you have any reason why Continental is $3,100 cheaper than EMC whenever it comes to the autos? I mean, that's dramatic.
On one of the other townships, it was even more dramatic, and it comes down to, again, sometimes when a carrier enters a marketplace and they haven't had a lot of losses yet, they can set their rates at whatever, and as long as they haven't had a lot of losses, their actuarial people and their underwriters and everybody that's involved in that can justify that pricing or whatever. But as you start to stack up some claims against that, and you know, if it builds up, then you will set your pricing accordingly as it moves up or increases. So
are we talking about from a statewide perspective, or are we talking about for an individual entity like ours?
Pretty much in the marketplace. If they come into the state and they're sitting there and they haven't had much losses in that, you know, they can get by with those rates. If they start to have a lot of losses, they will come in and say, look, throughout this state we're having an issue. And usually it's not our individual underwriter that is dealing with that. It's that insurance company looking at their losses company-wide, and then what they have to do in order to justify their rates, they will buy what's called reinsurance. And so they'll set up a reinsurance purchase of everything that's above a certain limit. You know, they'll cover everything below this, but they go out and buy reinsurance from an insurance carrier. And a lot of times those insurance entities, they will come back and say, look, we're not allowing your contract to be at the rates it was. You're having too many losses, or we're seeing them in the marketplace, so we're going to increase your underwriting capability. And so that's, you just see it depending on how that's going, but that's about the best explanation I can give you.
Okay.
It's easier when you're new in a marketplace to write it at a lower rate.
Okay. All right, so going down to the linebacker area, what is EPLI?
Okay, that is your employment practices liability.
Okay.
And so it's basically, it's the policy that covers the board against lawsuits from employees. Is basically okay. What that is.
So on the first or the second line, public official limit and EPLI limit, on the Continental Western, it has $1 million, $2 million on both lines. But on EMC, it has $1 million, $2 million, and then included.
Right. Basically the same difference. But Continental Western has employment practices and public officials separate. Those are separate items. With EMC, it's all under what's called the linebacker program of their policy form, but for all intents and purposes, there's not much difference between the two programs from that standpoint. And what we looked at closely for you guys, and again, I don't know if you noticed or can speak to this, Michael, but Jolene is about as good as you can find in the industry as far as a staff person. She knows these policies inside and out, and anytime she's reviewing a program, she starts making comparisons, and she reads the policy form and points out, hey, this is, you know, this needs to be looked at or that needs to be looked at, so we don't end up like you guys would be concerned about in a year or two that we made a switch to Continental Western and then we had a problem. So I know that's why you're asking these questions. So as far as the EPLI and public official liability, what there is in there is we checked out the retro dates, which I don't know if we listed it. Yeah,
you did.
One of them is back to like May 1st of 1989. That's when that policy was first written, basically with EMC, and so it's carried through. But they're under what's called a claims-made policy, and it won't mean anything to you if you're not kind of in the insurance industry. But the Continental Western is writing that under a what's called an occurrence form. So that when anytime we go from claims made to an occurrence form in that specialty line, we have to look at those retro dates and make sure that they will set that up so that you guys are going to be covered for those claims that occurred in the last couple, 3 years or an occurrence that happened that somebody finally comes out and says, I'm suing because of that incident, that car wreck that I had that where the sign wasn't up and they start suing, you know, down the road. Well, if we don't have a policy in place that covers that time that it happened, then we can be left hanging out there. So what we did with Continental Western, they have set it up so that they will cover prior exposures up to 5 years going forward. So on your public official liability, again, which is what protects you guys against lawsuits from the public or whoever that might sue you for one of those incidents, they will cover those prior acts that occurred for the next 5 years. And then their policy, being an occurrence form, it will cover you every year that it going forward, as long as we stay with that occurrence form, it will cover you for every year that's for the present forward.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it should cover you unless somebody comes out with a claim from way back, 6 years down the road, you should be fine. I don't see that as being a problem. But those are the things that we look at, and we made sure that endorsement is on there so that you guys are covered going forward.
Okay. Then on the workers' comp, if I'm understanding this correctly from on the Continental Western, it's actually done by Fireman's Insurance?
Yeah, they file their different varying rates or companies in the state. They'll just go ahead and file those under some name that they already have set up that does workman's comp or whatever. They don't necessarily, because it's a Berkeley company, and there's a million different companies under the Berkeley name, and Continental Western's one of them, and this would just be another name that they've filed that rate for that particular program.
Okay,
but it's all Continental Western.
Yeah, I get that. But right now we have accident fund?
Accident fund.
For EMC.
Right. Well, not no. Accident fund. Accident fund is actually a separate carrier. All they do is work comp. They're separate from EMC. We came in with that pricing last year and said, hey, they're writing it at a good rate. They're a good company. You know, do you guys want to move away from EMC for that portion? And that's what we did, was to move that to accident fund.
Okay, and that's fine. So, but she put it in there that we were paying $5,501. And that's, I believe, if I remember correctly, that's what we paid last year to accident fund.
That's the renewal rate for this year.
So I guess my question is that yearly we get a dividend checked for having no workman's comp stuff, and it's about 5%.
Right.
Which is, nothing to sneeze at. Fund. Yeah.
Yeah, so here's the deal. You can stay with them.
I understand that. I guess what I'm just trying to, we can stay with them and still go with Continental Western?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah,
that was my next point, is that would be an additional.
Do you know if
$500 or $600 that you could save on that portion.
Yeah, if it's Fireman's Insurance or the KMIT, do they do dividend checks?
I don't believe that they do. I can find that out for you and shoot you an email. But the KMET may, and it, how that is, it's a fund. So you become a member, and there are some other entities. They really don't have very many townships at this point. They have a couple of them, and that's about it. Mostly, that's been set up for the cities across the state. And there's a number of cities that have written with them, and there's a number of them that don't. What I would tell you, typically, unless it's a significant savings, I typically wouldn't recommend a fund, because you're party to the group. If they have bad losses, they can come back and charge you additional premium to cover everybody's losses that's in that group.
Okay.
So what you pay at that time is not the final bill necessarily, unless they don't have, and like, as long as they have enough to cover the losses, you're fine.
Okay.
But if they ever have a year where they're short, they can come back and assess you additional premium. The other ones that you're looking at, either the Continental Western program or the accident fund, those are going to be fully underwritten. So whatever you paid for the year, that's it. That's, plus your audit. If your audit's high or low, you have to pay, additional. That would be the same in KMET.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? If your payrolls are, 150 instead of 140, you have to pay a little additional. If it's 130 instead of 140, you get money back.
Okay.
But the basic rate for the year will not change. That's your final premium, and any claims that arise out of that, they will pay the full amount of those claims as long as they're occurred. So that's a little bit of why, unless it was a big savings, I probably wouldn't move to a fund, because you never know, that you might end up paying more.
Yeah,
down the road, that policy's not.
I mean, it's pretty much a wash with accident fund getting right. $300 every year.
Yeah, by the time you get your deductible, correct.
All
good questions. I appreciate your preparation and
I only have 12 more.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'm done.
That's all I had. Just so you know, I taught school for about 16 years, so I before I got into insurance, I wouldn't have any idea on this stuff, but I've been doing this about 20 now, and always appreciate getting out among people
I guess
like
I do,
to help out.
Yeah, I guess the one last question that I would have is, and I think you kind of alluded to it, is based upon the 3480 savings, you're saying that we should go with Continental Western?
I mean, I don't think it's a, you know, again, there's always the chance that they could leave the marketplace and decide, you know, that we don't like this, and you might have to go back hat in hand to EMC. As long as you're not having big losses, you don't have that problem. It's when the, you know, the big claims happen, and then
if I understood what you said correctly, if we have another Greensburg, they could pull out.
That could happen, yes. And because there's safety in numbers, as you know, I mean, when you've got, you know, 90% of the public entities insuring with EMC, they have the funds, they have the horsepower to, you know, they have one claim, or they have a Greensburg, it doesn't kill their loss ratio with that program because they've got so many others to offset that in the state of Kansas. And basically that's kind of what EMC has done. Like they stabilized that program. Because my former boss, he was around about 30 years ago when they first established that fund and helped set it up because they were having to go to this carrier and this carrier just to split up the property on some of these schools and stuff because nobody had the capacity to handle all of those, you know, at the same time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when they brought that all together, they set it up. And the good thing about it, and unfortunately for the townships, they didn't set it up with the dividend plan like the schools, the cities. The city, they're getting dividends. So in other words, whenever it's profitable, they're paying them back some of their money, like your accident fund deal. Mm-hmm. They're looking to do that in the next year. I asked them what's your plan, and they said we're looking at that for the next year. It's not a set deal yet, but they're looking at that. So they would be bringing in what's called the Kansas Municipal Trust program that they set up to kind of stabilize that marketplace. But again, I don't think that, you know, I mean, Continental Western's a good carrier. They've been around a long time, and there's nothing wrong. They're going to pay all your claims. They're not going to go insolvent or whatever. It just becomes a matter of if their people at the top up there start looking at that public entity sector, and again, there's Greensburg or whatever else, then they can say, you know what, we thought this might be a profitable sector to get back into, but it's not, so we're pulling back out. And that's what's happened with Intech and Berkshire Hathaway.
So is there any advantage of us being with EMC since 1989?
I will tell you this. I've had an incident, on another township, that where they had a trailer that was not on the policy, and they had an incident where, you know, they were brought into a lawsuit and everything. And I was able to make sure that because their claims team is in Wichita, and we've got a good relationship with them. There's, you know, 200 employees in Wichita. We were able to get that, you know, process through and say, you know, hey, this was never meant to be not on the policy, and you know. You know, they know our people and that we would have meant to have done that or whatever the case might have been. And they went ahead and, you know, it was not a problem with that claim. I don't know that we'd have that exact same relationship on the Continental Western side. But again, they pay their claims. We've never had a problem from that perspective. But there is some, you were asking the question, is there any good that can come out of having the longevity? That's what I would tell you. And ICI, we've been in the public entity arena for so many years. We've got so much business in
over right. That it's we're because able to, of your relationship with EMC.
Right, that we were
is
able
how
to
you
pull
were able to do that.
Strings
and has nothing that. To do if we were there for since 1989.
You know, that's I wouldn't say it that they would throw you overboard because of that, you know, if you left, that would probably be a little less, you know, ability to say, you know, yeah, hey, you know, come back and we'll cover all that or whatever, especially if you had large claims, that's where it would be. But again, I there is nothing wrong with the Continental Western program as far as matching up, same for same, and I wouldn't have a problem placing it for you if that's what you guys decide you want to do. I just wanted to give you all the, you know, 3,000 foot overview of how the game's played when you get down to the cutting time. So, okay.
When's the last time we had a big claim?
I don't recall that you guys ever have. No, and I, you know, knock on wood, it doesn't, because you know you get the benefit of people always, you know, are like, well, we've been paying these premiums and I've, you know, we've never made a claim. Why are they? And all I can say is be thankful.
At one time.
Yeah, be thankful that you didn't have it, because you're getting the benefit of low claims. Because they do look at your 5-year history, and if it's you know, if it's bad, then they're not gonna.
So Continental Western probably ran something on us as well.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean they looked at your loss information, and I mean because we send that in as well as your. You know, your information from your applications that we did, and they are aggressive because they're coming into this business and they want to buy you know, enough so that they get that mix of business across the state and it'll grow. And so that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You see that all the time. It's just it's you know, where do you want to be on that spectrum? And they will pay whatever claim you have. I don't have any. I mean, as long as it's a covered claim, I have no doubt they'll pay that. And they are very financially strong. So I would not say don't pick them because of anything I've said, other than
okay. So if we switch to Continental Western, how much more paperwork do I have to fill out?
Now that is the biggest. Actually, I think they're honestly on their audits. I think they're a little easier than EMC. I've been on to EMC about getting their audits cleaned up.
Last few years have been.
Well, and that's what I've told them is, you know, we basically had to move all you guys to direct bill, which means you got to look at the bills and figure out what's been paid or whatever. You can always call us, but then we're looking at the same thing you're looking at, and we have to sort through those endorsements or whatever you've got. So that's been a problem. But the audits, I'm like, your money doesn't change every year.
No.
The same amount of payroll almost, the same amount of. So why don't you just, you know, go to a 1 every 3 years audit or something. They're talking about that as well, along with the dividend. They listen to us a little bit because I've told them, people are getting tired of having to complete those audits or whatever. So, I don't think that you'll have a lot more paperwork from this point forward with Continental Western if that was a concern, and I wouldn't blame you for that being a concern. So,
but you're the clerk; you like paperwork.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I had to say it.
So, but I guess the good point is either carrier is strong, and the programs aren't that far apart. But they're, you know, there's enough there that you may want to choose that. So,
okay, so. Our next meeting, we would be voting on that, which is going to be approximately, what, April 17th, somewhere around
16th
there.
Is a Saturday.
Okay, so 18th?
Yeah, so we've got, you know, May 1 is your renewal date. So, I mean, up until, as you know, Jolene is awesome, and she's got about 5 other people that are right behind her that can bind it same day, or you've got my cell number, you can call that, and I can desk mine,
yeah,
and, you know, whatever you decide you want to do. But up until that time, you know, a couple of days ahead of time gives plenty of time to get you auto
okay.
ID cards and all of that stuff.
All right.
So
we should be fine then. Okay, whatever we end up deciding.
If you have any questions, yeah. If you have other questions, you know, feel free to. If you want something in writing from the carrier, you know, it says, "Hey, I want to." I want to know about this or want to know about that. Sometimes we can get the underwriter to send us a note and send it on to an email like we did that, kind of like I did from that information from NTEC. I was just kind of sharing with you that. Did I put that in your information on that letter on NTEC?
Yes, you did. At the end, yep.
Which is the strangest thing. I mean, they gave us a proposal and then they sent us an email and said we're
back in it. Yeah, things happen. I do have a question. I was trying to look over some of the coverages and requirements, vehicle lights, that kind of stuff, the safety end of it. Where do I go to find that stuff?
Well, you mean as far as specific requirements for certain vehicles, so on and so forth? Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what,
find the state stuff, but
I do safety with a lot of companies around the state on workers' comp and that kind of thing, and I look into a lot of that stuff. So, I mean, if you want to just shoot me an email on what vehicle, I usually have somebody I can go to get some of that information. Okay. I do know that EMC just came out with a video program that they've got. You know, if you're a policyholder, you've got access to any kind of training that they have. And they've got driver training. They've got I think they've got equipment training and some other stuff like that. I'm not so sure on that fire pack because we haven't seen that information from them.
I don't. But, yeah, I'm not worried about that.
But I can, if you send me an email, I'll I can help you. And you've got my email address, yep. I think. So you're welcome. If you need a card, I think I might have one of those too. So. But good questions, I mean, and very well informed, and you know, I hope you feel like you got what you needed out of the discussion there. But you won't, I don't think really think you can go wrong with either company that you end up going with to a large degree. It's just your choice. And we're always there.
So an email to you on what we decide, or do we need that? I noticed there was a sign page at the end.
That's always helpful just to say, hey, yeah, we want to move forward with EMC or Continental Western and Accident Fund or whatever it is that you want to do. We want to move forward with those and just shoot that back to Jolene, and she'll send you a deal on any additional requirements that need signed. Sometimes there's terrorism forms and this and that need signed, but she's, you know, as you know, very good at getting you that. And she'll get you the billing information as you move to Continental Western, if that's your choice, what your options are on that.
And, okay.
Have you guys paid it all up front, or have you paid it over the year?
No, we pay it right up front.
Yeah, and so that's not really an issue, I think, so.
Good deal.
All right.
Thank you, Lonnie. Appreciate your time.
You bet. Yeah. No, I'm glad it worked out. And anybody from the community or anybody that has a question, you're welcome to reach out. So.
Fantastic. Thank you again.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
Stay dry. All right. Next. Board discussion, chip seal budget overview and discussion. So, I kind of been working on this since our last meeting. Some of these numbers are kind of figured into what you figured in on the, you know, our yearly budget.
Yeah, okay.
The budget estimation, like the fuels, excavator, just kind of shows you what it costs to actually do them.
Oh, I see what's going on.
You see, the equipment cost, I'm short one. You might have to peek over his shoulder. The equipment cost includes trucking, the grader, our truck, the other truck, if we rent a truck, the excavator, the equipment that's going to run nonstop for 10 hours a day or better. And so that's off of fuel cost today.
Okay, so this is just the cost.
This is just the cost to prepare the roads.
Just to prepare the roads.
Yep. $86,624 to do all 3.7 miles.
And then we're looking at another potentially 120.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
And I meant to call Mike today, but I didn't get a chance about the oil cost and what he thinks that's going to cost.
So $207,000 total when we have budgeted $120,000
for all of it.
Yeah.
But just the base alone, just the base, if we were to just go base the roads as they set, is $15,000. That doesn't include what it costs our truck to run up and down the road. That's just the cost of the...
For each road, is what you're saying.
Yep. Except for 180th one, because it's about 3/4 mile. It's like 3,040 some feet is what my wheel measured. It's where we'll stop. So if you look at it, if you take the material cost and you look down at the where it says the 9-10 hour days at 85 an hour, that's the trucking cost if we hire a truck to help us, which on the further hauls we're going to have to. There's no way we can, Randy and I can do all this ourselves. But both Metal Arcs we will be able to, because now that Mr. Vu Nguyen is donating us a bunch of dirt at a very short haul.
Who's getting?
Vu Nguyen, the guy that bought Kaiser's old place.
Where are you going to get the dirt there?
Out of the waterway. He's going to let us dig a pond back there. We were going to meet today and kind of locate the area, but we didn't want to stand in the rain in the water. So we have a very short haul for Metal Arcs. But like the fuel cost for the grader, the fuel cost for the excavator, and the fuel cost for our truck is, that's part of the everyday operating. Sort of, kind of, but I wanted to put it in there.
Yeah. And I think it's good to know, for sure. And how'd you come up with estimates for gas?
10-hour day. How much we've been using.
Yeah, but, I mean, how'd you come up with the cost?
$4.20 a gallon.
Oh, is that what you put it as? Okay.
Yeah.
$4.20
a gallon for red diesel.
Oh.
It's $4.51 for green.
You can't get it like farm cost?
That is red diesel.
No, I mean, why is your fuel so much higher than a farmer gets it for?
Fuel's going up. I projected it to go up. What's diesel down here at the Casey's? $4.51?
Well, that's road diesel.
That's 30 cents left.
I got farm diesel today for way less than $4.20.
Today?
Last week.
Did you have it delivered to your house?
Yep.
Where'd you get it at?
Mulvane.
Do they supply you the tanks?
No.
Okay. We've been through Southwind forever. They supply us the tanks, the pumps, the hoses, filters, everything. Yes,
I didn't.
So it's just
charging each month for your tank.
I don't think they do. I think we just pay a little bit extra per gallon. Yeah, so I know they've been hiring Casey's, but I don't want to drive over to Casey's every day, get 200 gallons of fuel.
In the grader.
Well, we have a 100-gallon transfer tank, but still.
It shuts off at 100 gallon anyways.
Yep. It's a pain. So, I don't know what the fuel is going to be here in a couple of months.
Well, yeah, I see. Yeah.
I went high, just cover myself.
So, basically, we're going to be about
I wanted to break it down some more.
We're 87,000 over if we do all four roads.
We're over no matter what we do.
Yeah, we're over no matter what we do. Yeah. I'm just trying to But we'd only be about 20,000 over if we didn't do Metal Arc 6. And you didn't get costs from Mike?
No, I didn't have a chance to call him today.
How much are you planning on raising all these roads?
Just over the culverts where the low spots are, where the water keeps washing over, where Mr. Dave Springob has come in and sized the culverts. And
180th one is our biggest problem.
That's
right?
The biggest bill. That road.
And you're estimating another 8,000 to the highest up, or 8,000, 11,000 dollars more compared to our least one, which is Metal Arc 6.
Mm-hmm. Trucking.
But 35 loads of dirt a day for 4.5 days?
On Metal Arc 6?
No, four.
Four? Yep, we have to raise it from almost the intersection at 150th almost to the cemetery. We put the three culverts in and the water still washes across the road. We've wasted the money on chip seal. He comes in, he shoots everything and does all the drainage stuff and tells me what I need to raise and how far I gotta go.
Does he do a report on that, or he just tells you?
Yeah, where?
Yeah, he just tells me. I don't know if it's... I know I got a report on the size of the culverts. Like on Metal Arc 6, he hadn't even got me the email back for the size of the culvert. He called me with that one. Because I was in a rush and he's super busy.
So that doesn't even include culverts?
Nope, culverts aren't figured into that.
And we have culverts for...
We have all the culverts we need.
Even for Metal Arc 6?
Even for Metal Arc 6.
Okay.
I'm using one of the ones that we had in the back to go across that, where I was telling you about right there where they got all the bricks stacked up. I've been in contact with AT&T trying to get them to move that line. They have a line running on top of the culvert and a pipe.
I just don't see how we're going to be able to do Metal Arc 6. Not with our spending and what we've got. Now, if you're considering that we might get FEMA money...
We should have FEMA money in the next 2 months. That's what I was told today. He said... If he gets it processed this week, it takes about 3 weeks for something, and then that's when he'll do the managerial report, and then we should have the money shortly after that. That's why I said 2 weeks. I've got to go through here and move this stuff around. This is...
I'd like to know about the cost for the roads, if it's going to be $32,000 or $40,000. And I'm sure that Craig wants to know that as well.
Right. I mean, that's why we're not voting on it.
I know.
Just, I mean,
I thought you were talking about that you figured this all out and we'd have like an extra $60,000 at the end of the year.
That's if we, yeah, I mean, that's if we just figure, I took off the original budget of, I think I took off 206,000. I took off like 56,000 of what we'd already spent on culverts and rock and that stuff. We had 600 and something minus 300 and something of expenses on your sheet.
Okay.
I've all added together. We had, and we got back, we had like 150,000 left after I minused a whole bunch of stuff off there. The chip seal and everything.
Okay.
And so there was about, that leaves us about 60,000.
And that, in, so
take 90,000 off of 150 is about 60,000 to do rock the roads.
For the rest of the year?
Rest of the year.
$60,000 for the rest of the year for rock.
What mm-hmm. about the road grader?
We don't have a payment on it until next year.
Yeah. Okay, so we've just, this month we spent 43,000 on rock.
No, that was last month in this month. We've only hauled
okay, you're right.
1,800 okay. tons since last meeting.
Okay. So in 2 months, we've spent 40,000.
Oh, that's fiber optic line.
And so you're saying 60,000 will last us for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you always rock in the beginning of the year to prepare for the rains. Now we've pretty much got all the bad spots rocked up where we can go to work. We're going to have to spend a little bit on hot patch to patch the pavement. But other than that...
Oh, I think I've got that built into the budget, is hot patch.
You've got the roll. Yeah, I don't know what you got in there, but... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't even... I didn't even take stuff out of that budget, the overflux, the overestimation. Well, we should be fine.
Yeah. It's not like I have $10,000 in overestimations. That's conservative, but not that conservative. And if we have any equipment breakdown, that's going to hurt us, right? Would that hurt us?
Depends on what it's on. I mean, we have till July on the excavator.
Yeah, the backhoe there shouldn't be any more problems with for as much money as we spent on it.
And we'll be getting a new grader around July. So the excavator's the only thing we'd have to worry about. And it just went through an inspection. Everything checked out fine. As long as we keep greasing and checking oils and checking fluids.
Okay.
I put 2 tubes of grease in that thing yesterday. Or Saturday.
Okay. I'm going to have to think about this whole Metal Arc 6. I know you guys want to do it, and
hey,
I'm not saying that I don't want to do it either, but...
I'm going to say if we do do it, if we do decide to okay it, that it's contingent that we can get it done with the weather and everything else.
Oh, well, that's with all of our chip seal, and that would be the agreement with Craig in the first place, is the agreement that I made up to have that in there.
Right. Because, I mean, it's...
What kind of project you gonna have on the county line at the new bridge? How? Where's all that gonna figure in?
That's already being done.
Mm-hmm.
Backfilling and everything.
It's already backfilled. It's backfilled and covered. We just got to get the roller over there and get it rolled. But it's rained since we got all the fill put in, and then we got to put rock on top of it.
Build the road up to the north or
yeah, we have to because it keeps coming over, and I've been in contact with.
But he's got that built into this cost here.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's built in here. Okay. Kansas. No, it's not the hydraulic assessment.
County line 3,
yeah, I was. Yep. A guy built a concrete pad over the 8 Mile Creek and caused a bunch of problems. Or it's going to cause a bunch of problems. It already, before he did that, it already ran across the road, as you all know. And so, yeah, it basically, now it, from that culvert where it comes out of the housing addition across, from there to the one guy's driveway, we're going to basically straighten that up.
Yeah.
And then from that guy's driveway to the bridge, basically straighten it up. It's a little bit deeper in some places, but for me to figure it out, I got to kind of estimate.
Okay, well, we'll just throw this on the agenda for next month to approve Meadowlark 6. And then that's all contingent on...
So Mike's the one that came out and told you what to do on these roads?
No, Dave.
Dave?
Dave and I talked about every road except for 180th. And 180th is pretty self-explanatory. If you drive down it, the culverts are above the road on most of the road.
South of the Crooked Bridge, where the trees are, how are you going to get 25 feet or 24 feet of road?
Where's that?
South of the Crooked Bridge on 6. How are you going to get 24 feet of road in there on Craig's Road?
Oh, it'll go.
With all them trees on the east and west, on the north half of the road?
They're in the right of way. They come out.
You going to take out all of them?
Just the ones that are sticking out there. There's plenty of room in there.
Do you think so? With it making a ditch and 24 feet of road, I don't see it.
Well, there ain't a ditch there now, really.
No.
There hasn't been for years.
All right. So, it's not very wide through there.
It's not, but that's not. I'm not building that up through there either. I'm just building up going down that hill and over that culvert right there. You know that one concrete box-type culvert?
It's real narrow. Take it out, or what are you gonna do there?
Huh?
You gonna take that out, mm-hmm. Or what's Craig gonna say about that? He's got it all landscaped.
He knows it's got to be replaced. It's not near big enough for the amount of water that flows through there.
He needs to be at the meeting and discuss it. So. You can't make a decision on just what he's told you.
Well, and that's why I have done up an agreement that he'll have to sign, which basically talks about that, you know, we have to come in, we have to do, you know, we'll have to, you know, do it, we maintain the roads after the fact, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, now, should Chris go into depth with him before he signs it? Probably so, yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about it out in the front yard. But, yeah, we'll go into a lot more depth. But, yeah, that culvert needs replaced whether we chip seal that road or not. Yeah. I mean, it floods over the road there every time.
Well, it's basically one lane.
Anyway. It's a one-lane culvert anyways.
Yeah.
And that's right there. And I got to see if I can get that line moved. So, I mean, basically anywhere I'm building up except for 180th. The rest of these roads are over culverts. And it's where the water comes over the road in a hurry. Even upsizing two culverts and adding a third one on Meadowlark, we still got to bring the road up. So that west field dumps a lot of water. And on a 10-year rain, on a 5-year rain, it comes over. When was it last year? We got an inch in what, an hour? I think it was the day of a meeting I took pictures driving down it.
Okay.
Anything else on it?
No, as of now. Thanks for this. This is helpful.
I wanted to go into more detail, but I ran out of time.
Okay. Well, if you want to go into more detail and send it off to us, that'd be great.
All right.
The more information we have, the better off we're going to be.
So, all right, public. I'm still waiting on numbers.
Did you ever get any estimates or anything for the lady?
That's what we're talking about. Mike hadn't gotten me back from the county and APAC. I don't know what they're doing. I've called a couple other companies. One of them left me a voicemail just a little bit ago. So I'll see
Blazing Meadows, right?
Yeah, Blazing Meadows.
because I had emailed with and call or been texting and calling your neighbor.
Yeah, Renee.
Renee. So.
Yeah, she said she talked to you and it sounded pretty much like what you told me last meeting, but just hoping there's some additional news or something. And
we're hoping the oil costs didn't go through the roof. So.
Yeah. I'm worried about, you know, we got one new person that's building there right now. They just started building a few months ago.
Right.
Where you did the dirt work there.
Drill the driveway.
I don't know whether, you know, there's about three of them that'll be questionable how much they could go on.
Right.
Contributing for it. And
that reminded me. He paid for one completely and started putting down a little money on the next one. When he gets paid again, he'll pay for the other one.
Okay.
We're only doing one at a time.
No, I understand that. It's just confusing. So it's 1.25 culverts.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. You know, the guy... No. Sorry, go ahead.
Hey, we got sorry. Sorry.
I'll explain it to him in a minute.
You said you had more ditch work to do along that road there. Is that just to get that to drain now that you got it going to where that new road is and the culverts?
Yeah, I'm going to clean that up. And
yeah, when it goes across the road, you know, it doesn't go down the ditch. It goes through the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're trying to figure out. In fact, that's on the county's deal, trying to figure that out because I'm going to have to talk to that property owner about either reopening that swell up that goes through their property or trying to figure something else out, because that culvert that goes under the road right there,
yeah,
that dirt in her field's that much higher than the culvert.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
That's the reason it backs up.
With it all full of water and you can see it filled up and nothing's going towards Bonnie. It's all going through that field.
And it can't hardly run through that field. So Dave's on it. He's just, they've got a lot of projects going right now. It's the spring, so. And we're not in a hurry to clean that out right now. I've got plenty to do besides that one. So until it starts coming over the road, but it is on the to-do list. Do you know who owns that there?
Hample's.
Hample?
Yeah.
So I keep meaning to message Renee about contacting
them. I'll probably find you a phone. I've got their phone number.
That would be great. That way I could call them and say, hey.
Let's see.
The stop sign in the middle, or Mulberry 160 needs
leaning.
Yeah.
We got to pull it out and put a extension on it and shove it back in.
Mulberry and 160th?
Mm-hmm. We got the one at 170th the other day.
The best one would be the Heather Hample.
Heather?
H-A-M-P-L. It's 316-209-3053.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hample Oil or a different spelling? No,
I don't know. He's a doctor.
Okay.
So he's busy. That's why Dr. Life is easier.
Yeah. Everybody's super nice down there except for the one old boy.
Which one's that?
The builder.
The builder.
Yeah, the guy that's building the house down there.
Oh, I have
to. He was nice to me,
but. I have no idea who he is.
Man, he was chewing some butt down there when we were putting them culverts in.
Chewing your guys?
No, he was chewing some of his workers. I felt bad for him.
Is that the builder or is that the owner?
As a builder. He's a contractor. Yeah. But I don't blame him. You know, that's how accidents happen.
Well, what about the second? There's supposed to be another house going in. I haven't figured that one out.
From what I understand, she bought both plots. Or bought that piece of land and split it.
Is it a realtor?
I have no idea. The builder contacted me for a culvert. He wrote us a check for the culvert. And then said that they were selling that other parcel. Mm. So I don't know if somebody's bought that yet or not. Mm. But people's asking me if they're coming off of Pawnee with their driveway or what they're doing.
Yeah. I was asking that last month, trying to figure out what they're doing.
Yeah, I have no idea. So nobody's contacted us about culverts again. So, I mean, it'd be pretty hard to put one down there in that swampy area. Even if I get the drainage fixed, it's still swampy down there.
The field needs to be just a bunch of that pushed over and filled up a little.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anything
nothing?
Else?
Dale, nothing? Meeting adjourned.